Good morning and welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Ed Williams, reporter for Public Health New Mexico. Public Health New Mexico is a KUNM reporting project providing in-depth, investigative, and continuous coverage of public health and the impacts of poverty in our state. Well, after a rough introduction last year, the Affordable Care Act is now in the middle of its second open enrollment period. The State Health Exchange is hoping for a strong turnout before the enrollment period ends in February. And joining us this morning to talk about the healthcare law and to answer your questions about enrollment are Amy Dowd, CEO of the New Mexico Health Insurance Exchange, and Pamela Herndon, Executive Director of the Southwest Women's Law Center, where she's been doing some research and outreach into the healthcare enrollment in minority communities. Welcome, guys.
Good morning, Ed. It's great to be here.
Well, Amy Dowd, there were some notorious problems with the initial rollout of the enrollment last year under the Affordable Care Act. What's different this year?
Well, that's a great question, and you're right. It was very challenging last year to go through the application process through the federal website. The good news is that it's much improved this year. The time to go out and anonymously shop and see what plans might be best for you is much quicker, and the process is much easier this year. So we're very pleased, and preliminary feedback that we're hearing from New Mexicans is that the process is working very well.
And you said much improved, and of course we are tied to the federal exchange. So are any of the issues at all, or any of the bugs still around that you're still working out, or is it just a new day?
There's really very few bugs that we've heard of. Initially, there was one link that wasn't working to assist people with finding local help, but that was quickly resolved with our federal partners. And really, it's been smooth sailing.
Well, Pamela Herndon, your organization, Southwest Women's Law Center, has been doing some outreach work for the open enrollment period. Where have you found the greatest needs to be in terms of access to health care?
So what we're finding is that there is a great deal of need still in the communities of color. Because what we found out in the early enrollment days when the Affordable Care Act first opened is that there was a great deal of misinformation that was being dispensed, particularly in communities of color. And so what we found is that in being a trusted ally, to give people the truth about what happens when you enroll, how the enrollment process works, it really has helped. And so what we are doing now is going out to try to reach those people again to make sure that they get enrolled this time if they missed the enrollment period last time.
How exactly are you reaching out to them? Are you sending people to knock on doors? Are you holding bilingual conferences? Or what specifically are you doing?
Well, you know, all of those are really good ideas, Ed, so thank you for that. So what we're doing right now is we're focusing on the faith community, because what we're thinking about is that in the state of New Mexico, everybody is involved in some faith, even if you don't believe in any faith. So that if we reach out to the faith communities, that we are going to reach out and absolutely touch at least every single person possibly that we can. And our focus at the Southwest Women's Law Center is not to enroll the entire state, because I think in talking to Amy, you'll see that there are outreach and enrollment groups around the state. Our focus is primarily in Bernalillo County. We're looking down in Clovis, Portales, down in that area, a little bit of Santa Fe, and some of Sandoval. So we're trying to stay in this focused area. And to the extent possible, we want to make sure that the people up in Taos know that we haven't forgotten about them up north.
Well, I guess this would also be a good time maybe to go back and go over some of the basics, Amy, regarding, you know, what exactly the New Mexico Health Insurance Exchange is and how does it work? Can you kind of give us the layout?
Great. Sure, Ed. And we are primarily two things. We're a marketplace that's bringing buyers and sellers of insurance together that enables consumers to compare side-by-side health plans that might be best for them. In addition, we're a resource to New Mexicans for information about health insurance. We have lots of different channels within which people can access assistance. You can certainly go out to the website that's working much better and do the application on your own and shop and choose health insurance with no assistance. But if you're, a little bit more oriented to in-person assistance, we have, as Pam mentioned, sisters. We've contracted with 12 entities across the state So there's someone close to you in your community who can assist you with enrollment, or you can call and get help, assistance with the application process over the phone. And we also have a very engaged network of agents and brokers who are very well informed on specific products and can advise you on your options and your choices. So we're very very excited that we have a very strong network in place. You're not alone in the application process. There's lots of help available. So,
how does the New Mexico Health Exchange and Be Well New Mexico differentiate themselves? What's the difference?
Oh, we are one and the same. We are Be Well New Mexico, yes. And our website is www.bewellnm.com.
And you also operate the SHOP program for businesses. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between individual and business enrollment?
Sure. So New Mexico launched its SHOP exchange last year. So we're stabilizing the tool right now. We've had lots of interest. We have enrollment has been steady, and it's a great option for small businesses to offer their employees choice across multiple plans. So we encourage small businesses to come out and check it out and take a look at it.
So, and then this is, once again, basic for most people, but I think there is quite a bit of, confusion still lingering around, what's required and what happens if you don't sign up. And if you don't sign up, you could be facing fines. Are you able to break down what happens? Like, what's the timeline here? And if you miss the deadline, what are we looking at?
Right. So, starting in 2014, if an individual didn't have insurance, they potentially are eligible to pay a small fine. It's about $95 or up to 1% of your income. And then starting with calendar year 2015 and onward, that penalty continues to rise. So it is important, we are required to have insurance. There are certain situations where a person is eligible for an exemption. And if they feel that they're eligible, they can inquire on that, and there's information available from the exchange on those specific circumstances. But really, what we encourage people to do is really go out to the marketplace, shop. You might be pleasantly surprised. We hear all the time from New Mexicans who haven't had insurance and they went out, they shopped, they thought that they couldn't afford it, and lo and behold, they qualified for assistance with their premium, and they're paying, $50 or $75 a month for a very good quality health plan with access to preventive care. So before you even think about not getting insurance and potentially paying the penalty, we encourage you to go out and check out your options, because we hear good stories all the time.
Go ahead, Pamela.
No, Ed, one of the things I was going to tell you to follow up on what Amy is saying, when we go out as a part of our outreach and engagement, we don't focus on the penalties. And what we try to tell people, the penalty may be less than paying a premium, but what happens if you get sick and you go in the hospital? It's a lot better to say that you have insurance and that you're able to take care of yourself and your family than to say, I got by paying $196 in a penalty this year. So we really, really spend a lot of time on letting people understand about the human aspect of getting health insurance and being there for your families, and it's a lot better than paying a penalty.
I couldn't agree more, Pam. That's a great message as part of what we share with all of our outreach partners. And better to have that security and not be facing huge medical bills. So
right, and affordability obviously is the big question for most people. But Medicaid is also available to an expanded number of people, and maybe even more people becoming eligible in the near future. Mm-hmm. How is the health exchange handling Medicaid questions? I know that you're not administering the program, but maybe you can fill us in on how that works.
Sure, we have a very strong partnership with our Human Services Department and the Medicaid program between the exchange and Medicaid services. And in fact, most of our enrollment partners and counselors across the state assist people with both exchange enrollment or Medicaid eligibility and enrollment. So we are required to have very integrated system to make it a very easy experience for people, because we know that understanding health insurance can be complex, and we're breaking it down and making it simple for you.
Yeah, we're trying to make sure that no wrong door policy really does work. So if somebody comes to the exchange, for example, and we find out that they really are qualified for Medicaid, we try to make sure that we direct them down to the Medicaid offices, to an enrollment sister in Medicaid, to make sure that they get enrolled, and to make it a very seamless process so that people don't feel like, oh my gosh, I'm being shoveled from one place to another, because we definitely do not want that to happen.
Well, we want to hear from you. What has your experience been with coverage? Are you new to the insurance marketplace? Do you have questions about costs or how to sign up? You can call our local number, 277-5866 in Albuquerque. Toll-free number is 877-899-5866. You can also send us an email at callinshow@kunm.org or post comments to our webpage at kunm.org. And on that note, we have a web comment I'd like to run by you guys from Patty. She says her family has seen an increase in premiums for her family, and she's concerned about record profits for the insurance industry. She doesn't mind paying more so that others can get coverage. But what's your response to that? Is that something that you're hearing a lot?
You know, that's interesting, Patty, to say that you're seeing an increase, because the Kaiser Foundation actually did a study on premiums in New Mexico, and we were one of the states where the premiums actually went down by 1.65%. So maybe what we need to have Patty do is to have a conversation with a certified enrollment counselor to make sure that she's looking at the best plan for her and for her family, because we really do think that the price and the cost of insurance plans has gone down.
And I did see that study. It was using the Silver plans as the benchmark, which is, I think, the most widely subscribed to plan. But that's not to indicate that prices could be going up for some individuals, is it?
Well, they could be going up, depending on if their income has increased, for example, and they no longer qualify for subsidies on the health insurance exchange. So absolutely, their premiums would go up then, because those subsidies are not there for them.
Quick email question for Amy. This is from Joan. What happens if you need to get health insurance outside of the state where you're insured, for New Mexico Health Connections and Blue Cross Blue Shield customers, specifically in this case?
Right. So when you're selecting a plan, it's really important to access the information about the provider and the provider network and out-of-state care. So we encourage you to work with an enrollment counselor or an agent or broker who can help you understand what happens if you're out of state and you need medical care. But that information is all provided through the exchange and through the shopping experience.
So go online.
Go online.
This is a good time to give out your website. I don't think we've done that yet.
Sure, sure. It's www.bewellnm.com.
Okay.
So, Ed, I just want to mention that over at the Southwest Women's Law Center, we have a certified enrollment counselor there who's there to help people actually get enrolled. His name is Evan Kay, and if you call our number at 505-244-0502, let me repeat that again, 505-244-0502, make an appointment with Evan Kay to get enrolled in health insurance.
All right. Well, I think this is a good time to take a short break in just a moment. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act open enrollment with Amy Dowd of the New Mexico Health Insurance Exchange and Pamela Herndon of the Southwest Women's Law Center. So we'll take a short break here, and then we'll be right back to take your calls.
Celebrate recycling and art at the 16th Annual Recycle Santa Fe Art Festival, December 5th through 7th at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. Featuring artists who transform discarded materials into artistic wonders, an art market, juried exhibits, and more. Kick off the weekend with the Trash Fashion and Costume Contest at 7 p.m. on Friday. Festival hours and more at recyclesantafe.org. Fashion show tickets at ticketsantafe.com. A message from the tax exempt, Keep Santa Fe Beautiful.
Career advancement begins with business and technology training through UNM Continuing Education. Certificate programs and individual classes provide the latest information students need to succeed. Continuing education offers solutions for employees and employers within businesses of various sizes and industries. For a spring class catalog, call 277-0077 or visit ce.unm.edu. A message from the tax-exempt UNM Continuing Education.
This is KUNM 89.9, broadcasting from the University of New Mexico. We're back talking about the Affordable Care Act and open enrollment in New Mexico. If you want to weigh in or ask a question of our panel, the number is 277-5866 locally in Albuquerque, toll-free 877-899-5866. You can send us a tweet as well at KUNM Health. We were just talking about the Kaiser Foundation analysis showing that New Mexico had one of the biggest drops in coverage costs nationally in terms of, you know, state-by-state averages. And I'm wondering if that's something that you've found to be the case in terms of the people that you've signed up so far, Amy. And maybe does this portend some kind of, you know, increased enrollment for this enrollment period?
Well, Ed, you know, it is a little bit early to talk about the enrollment trends, figures, and the health plans that people are choosing. I do have some information nationally. Since November 15th, there have been over 765,000 plan selections through the federal marketplace. Again, specifics to New Mexico aren't available yet, but we should have some insights shortly there. There's been a very high volume of interest through calls, over 1.5 million calls nationally. And in New Mexico, we've had we've had thousands of calls since the beginning of our open enrollment period. And there's been lots of window shopping, both at our site as well as at the healthcare.gov site. So very strong activity at the start of open enrollment, which is optimistic.
So, Ed, you know, if we take a look at the bronze plan, which is the lowest plan that you can, the lowest cost of plan that you can purchase on the exchange, in New Mexico, that cost is averaging around $217 a month, which is quite a bit lower than the national average of about $249 a month. So we're really happy that price range is working for the people in New Mexico. But you know what? One good thing, Ed, that we need to look at with respect to these insurance plans is that any plan that you purchase on the insurance exchange has what's called 10 essential benefits. And one of those 10 essential benefits includes mental health. And with all of the issues that we've been having lately regarding the police department and mentally ill people, if you have an individual in your family who's mentally ill, then the idea and the best thing to do is to get them enrolled or get the family enrolled on one of those insurance plans on the New Mexico Insurance Exchange, because mental health assistance is available through those plans.
Well, that's a really good point, and maybe we can come back to that in a little bit. But let's go to the phones right now. Joy is on the line from Albuquerque. Joy has a question about changes in policy costs. Hello, Joy.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Hi. Our insurance for myself and my husband, this past month, we got the new policy, and it's essentially gone up 80%. And so we got on immediately to healthcare.gov and found a policy that had better coverage for about the same price on New Mexico Health Connections. And I was expecting that given that's a competitive marketplace, that we'd find a savings, and we really didn't find a savings that much. And I'm just curious if other people are experiencing this dramatic increase in their policies. I mean, I realize it goes up every year, but this is a huge increase. And have other people experienced this? And why is this occurring this year?
Thank you, Joy.
Thanks, Joy. And, you know, everyone's situation is unique. It's important to understand that if you're only eligible to shop on the marketplace and receive assistance with your premium, if you're not eligible for other health insurance say through your current employer. So it certainly sounds like 80% seems very exorbitant. But certainly, on average in New Mexico, we have seen specifically on the marketplace, a slight reduction overall in the cost of plans. And we're, as Pam mentioned earlier, we're tracking very well nationally.
So what I would suggest to you is I hear that you're working on this by yourself. So what I would recommend is that you consider talking to a certified enrollment counselor to help you look at those plans side by side and absolutely make sure that you're working and to get the best plan for yourself and for the best cost for you and your family. And I agree with Amy, 80% sounds a little bit high for a change in the cost from what you paid last year to what you're paying this year. And let us just work with you and to make sure that what you're looking at and what you will be paying is exactly correct.
Do we have any idea of what proportion of people are seeing increases as opposed to decreases, like Joy was just saying?
So, you know, I haven't heard a great deal of people saying they're hearing 80% increases, as Joy's talking about. So maybe as more and more people call in and we hear what their experiences are, maybe we didn't talk to them, but we still think that that 80% is really high. And we would like to have a conversation with her, with a certified enrollment counselor.
Okay, well, let's go to one more email comment from Daniel. Daniel has type 1 diabetes and insurance has been out of his reach. He says because of the Affordable Care Act, he's been able for the first time in his life to have decades, or first time in decades to have insurance, rather. Life expectancy has been extended for me, he writes. I'm extremely grateful for the impact of the Affordable Care Act on my life. That, again, coming from Daniel. And we do have another phone call on the line, actually quite a few to get to. Glenn is on the line from Jemez Springs with a question about the politics of all this. Hello, Glenn.
Hello. Thanks for having this. Yesterday I was listening to news coverage on this, and it's my understanding there's a group of high-powered Republican attorneys who are putting together a case to sue Obama to shut this all down. And then, of course, with our majorities in the House and Senate coming up next year, also committed to shutting it down. And then our five Supreme Court justices on the Republican side, likely to agree if some case can get into the Supreme Court. If people are signing up, as my son has done and others, and they find out that the Republicans have been able to pull this off to shut it down, what is that going to mean? People signed up, and then all of a sudden the program isn't there.
Thanks, Glenn.
So, Glenn, you know, you've raised some really great points and things that we have certainly been considering and talking about. But what we believe is that people are so ingrained and are experiencing such good or having such good experiences from enrolling in the Affordable Care Act that even though we're hearing a lot of hype and conversations about, oh, we're going to shut the Affordable Care Act down. Now, let's just ask that question sensibly. Why would you want to shut something down that's going to help people? And so we believe that the people are going to speak louder than the few people that are sitting in Congress and the Senate or the legislature, because it's the people who are being benefited by the Affordable Care Act.
Well, but could this kind of perception of potential instability of the law itself lead to, you know, maybe preventing people from enrolling?
Ed, I would point to other programs that have been rolled out in the past, right? So when, you know, Medicare was first rolled out, there was lots of instability. There were lots of questions. There was lots of, you know, politics around that. So if you build parallels to rolling out similar programs in the past, perhaps this is what we're experiencing now. And it is hard to speculate about the future. We're hopeful that the program will continue and continue to receive a lot of positive feedback, which we've already heard. So.
Let's go to another phone call. This is Clifton. He's on the phone from Albuquerque with a question about premiums. Hi, Clifton. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So a couple of points. One is that your guests are talking about a 1% decrease in premiums. And your callers are talking about an 80% increase in premiums. I have recently gotten coverage from an employer who is from out of town, so I have coverage that is I'm very thankful for. But I noticed that the coverage is not nearly as good as what the coverage used to be, and that my deductibles are significantly higher, and that what is covered is significantly more expensive. So I have two things. One is, A, how does that 1% decrease in premiums year over year make us feel comfortable relative to the 80% increase in premiums, say, from 2 or 3 years ago? And how does it make us feel any better to be paying more for so much less coverage? Thank you.
Thank you, Clifton. Do you guys have a response for that? Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, you know, one thing I'd like to say to Clift is that we had the one conversation with Joy. And so she said her increase was about 80%. But I still believe, Ed, that we need to sit down and look at what people are doing and what people are looking at. You know, we have a Department of Insurance, a Superintendent of Insurance, who has a rate review committee that looks at the increases in rates on insurance policies. And so there is a limit on how much insurance policies are going to increase in any event because of this rate review process that's in place. So that's why I'm saying to just take one out of context and to look at it does not tell us what's happening overall. So in looking at what the Kaiser Foundation did, looking at an overall large number of policies and seeing that decrease of 1.65% is something that we're going to focus on because it looked at a greater variety of insurance policies. So we still, I go back to that encouragement, talk to a certified enrollment counselor, and let's make sure that what you're looking at is the best policy for you and what has changed in your life. For example, if you're no longer qualified for these subsidies on the insurance exchange, that will definitely cause your insurance premiums to rise because the subsidies are no longer applicable.
We have another phone call that I'd like to get to while we still can, and that's with Barbara. Hi, Barbara. You're on the line from Albuquerque.
I am.
Are you there, Barbara?
Hello. Yes, I am.
Hi, we can hear you. Go right ahead.
Hi. I'm a strong Democrat, and I really support Obama, but it's one thing I do not support him in is this mandate to have insurance. When I get ill, I don't go to the allopathic as my first source. I go to alternative, like to a naturopathic doctor, and I'm a first-time applicant. I thought, well, maybe I better get on because I'm going to get penalized. And there's nothing there for allopathic. And, you know, the bronze plan is like $6,000 at the most deductible, at the least $2,500, but still none of those plans cover alternative health. And I just find it real frustrating that I'm being forced to go to allopathic means when I don't, that's not my comfort zone for me. I would rather go to an alternative health. And I just feel if I don't do the insurance, and I've already applied, and I read something online that said I'm going to get, if I don't pick one, they're going to pick one for me. Well, how are they going to make me pay for it? They're going to deduct it from my taxes, or how are they going to make me pay a year's worth of insurance? I don't know. I'm really frustrated and confused.
Thank you, Barbara.
Okay.
So, Barbara, no, you have ultimately it is your choice, right? If you want to purchase health insurance. And I hear your challenges with the options of care that are perhaps limited for you. If you do not have health insurance either through an employer or if you can't get it through the exchange, you choose not to purchase it, then you would just face the penalty at the end of the year when you file your taxes. And again, for 2014, it was around $95 or up to 1% of your income. And then that number increases over time. But hopefully you can use the shopping tool and enter some basic information. You can enter your zip code, your income and your family status, number of dependents, and you can quickly assess if there are some options that might work for you through the exchange. But no, you're not forced to enroll in any health insurance. That is your choice.
You know, one thing I would say to Barbara, Ed, is that, keeping in mind that the Affordable Care Act was the first time in a rollout to try to get our nation insured. And so there are lots of ways in which we can always improve upon this system. And maybe alternative medicine is one thing that we need to think about bringing in as this system continues to grow and encourage people to make sure that they are healthy and enroll. So, Barbara, don't give up yet. Even though we are just starting right now and alternative medicine wasn't included, that doesn't mean that it won't be included somewhere down the line. Remember, this is the first step, and getting people enrolled and engaged and just getting people accomplished and feeling comfortable about insurance. So this is a baby step. You got to think about Social Security, Medicaid, how all of these things started. So they started one step at a time. So Barbara, with people like you being a strong advocate for alternative health, don't give up on that yet. Keep saying, well, this is something that we need to think about including as we continue to insure America.
277-KUNM, that's 277-5866 is the number to call. If you'd like to weigh in on our conversation, we're talking about open enrollment with Amy Dowd of the New Mexico Health Insurance Exchange and Pamela Herndon of the Southwest Women's Law Center. You can also call our toll-free number, 877-899-5866. Send us an email to collinshow@kunm.org or tweet at KUNM Health. And we have another caller on the line, Representative-elect Javier Martinez. Welcome.
Hi, good morning, Ed. Great show this morning. And hi, Pamela. A long time no see.
Hello, Javier. Representative Martinez.
Representative-elect.
Soon to be, yes. Well, I thank you for the show. It's an important conversation to have. One of my concerns is the affordability gap. And, you know, you have mentioned some of that this morning. There are a lot of New Mexicans who don't qualify for Medicaid because they earn too much, but needless to say, cannot afford insurance through a private exchange. And my comment is along those lines. I just wanted to kind of bring attention to the fact that not only the state legislature can do something about it, and I'm committed to working on that this session and the next session, but also local governments. Bernalillo County sends over approximately $90 million to the UNM Hospital that can be leveraged to ensure that we fill those gaps. And I suspect that similar things can be done in counties throughout the state. Thanks again. I appreciate your time and the show.
Thanks for the call.
You know, Representative-elect Martinez, you make some great points. And a couple of things that we should point out with respect to some items that you brought up, and particularly as they relate to women. So there are some women who don't qualify for Medicaid, and there are items that we need to focus on with respect to them, like family planning and breast and cervical cancer treatment and programs. And so those exist right now in the Department of Health. For example, for women who can't otherwise qualify for Medicaid. And if you go through those programs, one of the things that is good, particularly when we look at something called breast cancer, and there's this whole process that's going on right now, even as we get ready to go into the new legislative system, to look for a new program called 3D mammograms to help make sure that women who haven't had mammograms before are able to utilize this new technology with no to make sure that breast cancer is discovered as early as possible. And I'm really happy to say that one of the things that I saw occurring recently during an interim committee hearing is that there was $1.2 million that was set aside simply for 3D mammograms for women who don't otherwise qualify for Medicaid but can get health assistance through the breast and cervical cancer program run through the Department of Health. So there are some alternative processes that are available, particularly as they focus on helping making sure that families are healthy.
We have, quite a lot to get to, but Chris from Santa Fe was asking, he has two adult kids who are covered under his policy, and they're turning 26 in March. He wants to know, should they enroll now because it's open enrollment? Is this the time to do it?
Absolutely. And in fact, the open enrollment period this year is reduced in half. And so if you are going to be losing coverage, rolling off of your parents' health plan at your birthday of age 26, encourage you to go ahead and enroll. You would also qualify in a special enrollment period outside of the open enrollment period if you lose coverage. Rolling off of your parents' health insurance plan, you can enroll either in the open enrollment period or during the special enrollment period. But good reminder is that if you need to be covered by January 1st, you have to enroll by December 15th, which is upon us shortly. And then the open enrollment period ends this year on February 15th. So after that, you would not have the opportunity to enroll unless you had special circumstances that make you qualify.
Well, you're listening to the KUNM Call-In Show live from the University of New Mexico. We're talking about open enrollment and the Affordable Care Act with Pamela Herndon, Executive Director of Southwest Women's Law Center, and Amy Dowd, CEO of the New Mexico Health Insurance Exchange. How are you faring with the Affordable Care Act so far? Are you a small business owner with an experience to share? If you want to weigh in on the conversation, the number to call is 277-KUNM. That's 277-5866 locally in Albuquerque. Toll-free 877-899-5866. Send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org or tweet at us at KUNM Health. Short break here, then we'll be right back to take your calls.
As if a KUNM membership, a tax deduction, and supporting great radio weren't enough, if you donate a vehicle between December 1st and December 8th, you'll also get a $50 gas card. That's right, a $50 gas card. To claim yours, donate your unwanted car or truck today at 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227. Valid through December 8th.
Child abuse and neglect run rampant in New Mexico, and we rate last in overall childhood well-being. But children are resilient, right? Not so fast, says psychiatrist and neuroscientist Dr. Bruce Perry, a leading expert in early childhood development. This week on New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas, please join host Stephen Spitz as he and Dr. Perry examine the lasting damage on adults that childhood stress and abuse can bring. This Friday morning at 8 on 89.9 KUNM.
We are back. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Ed Williams, reporter for Public Health New Mexico, a KUNM reporting project providing in-depth, investigative, and continuous coverage of public health and the impacts of poverty in our state. I'm going to go to an email comment from Susie. She and her husband are in their early 60s. They've had coverage costs double or nearly triple. The couple are very disappointed and are thinking about opting out. This, we've heard a couple of comments along these lines. Opting out, what does that mean when someone opts out of healthcare coverage? What does that entail?
So there's great opportunity. In fact, we've had a lot of enrollments come in the pre-Medicare age for individuals in that age range qualifying for subsidies. Opting out, I guess to me, means that you're choosing to not have health insurance and pay a premium. Again, in that case, you would potentially face the penalty. But again, encourage you to seek out the assistance of a certified enrollment counselor or a trained agent or broker to assist you with really assessing all of your options. We are very fortunate in New Mexico to have a wide range of health insurance plans on our exchange, very wide variety. In fact, compared to other states, we have a wonderful selection, much higher options to assess. So really encourage you to seek out some assistance and look at your options now. Don't wait. We find that people in the selection process of health insurance, sometimes it takes 2 and 3 times. First, you want to go out and shop. Then you want to assess what might work for you and your family. Come back again, check things out. Usually it's 2 or 3 times interacting with the information and the website before individuals find that they're ready to make a choice. So take action now. Don't wait.
Let's go to another phone call. We have Mike on the line from Albuquerque. Mike with a question about homeopathic acupuncture and so forth. Go ahead, Mike.
I am not attracted to the same medical practices that you are, all you people. I have been almost killed by American doctors, and I don't think it's a joke. For the past, I don't know how many years, 40 years, have lived on acupuncture, acupressure, chiropractics, homeopathics, and every time I go back to American medicine, it's been hit and miss, and being that I almost lost it, I'm very cautious about it.
So, Mike, is this...
I want to say this. I want to say this. I'm hoping that there's new competition, that there are new companies that come in that know there are people like me and want to serve people like me and are interested in preventative health, natural ways of solving problems instead of crazy intestinal medicines like oxycodone and things like that.
All right. Well, Mike, we get your question, and you're not the first person to call in asking about coverage for alternative medicine, and we did touch on this, but Mike does bring up an interesting point, just like the previous caller did. A lot of people do really feel strongly that Eastern medicine, acupuncture, midwifery, anything like that, is more suited to them. So what can someone like that do to find that, to get their needs met and to also meet their requirements under the Affordable Care Act?
I wanted to make a comment, and I'm sure Pam does as well. So the essential health benefits in the coverage that is offered through health insurance right now is continuously being assessed and evolving. So what is considered covered by health insurance today is anticipated to change and evolve in the future. So you advocating for that, that's probably something you can do. Also, though, the health insurance plans that are sold through the exchange all include preventive health services, and in many cases, they're very low cost or free. Certainly, that's an important part of the Affordable Care Act, is making sure that there are standards for coverage and what's contained in all of the health insurance products that are sold through the marketplaces.
We also have an email comment. Unless, Pamela, did you have something to add to that?
No, I just wanted to let Mike know that we hear him and we understand how he is feeling about these additional homeopathic and alternative medicine possibilities. So, Mike, I certainly want to encourage you to continue to write to Congress and to your representatives to say there are alternative medicines that should be considered, but also check those plans carefully that are on the website, because there are some coverage options that may well take care of the items that you're looking at.
So let's go to an email comment again from Jay. He's asking, why are we not acknowledging that there are winners as well as losers with the Affordable Care Act? He says he's losing coverage. His policy is one of the ones that is being canceled. One of 30,000 New Mexico policies, if I have that number right, that's going to be canceled. Costs will go up. Deductibles go up. He knows a bunch of people are in the same circumstances. And he does bring up a good point, because there are quite a few policies that are going to be canceled effective January because they don't meet the minimum requirements under the Affordable Care Act. What's going to happen to those people?
So I would encourage Jay to go out to bewellnm.com and use our browsing tool to enter some basic information and see what he may be eligible for a plan that may in fact have better benefits for him. But definitely for those individuals who lost their insurance, highly encourage you to go out to the health insurance exchange, bewellnm.com, and shop around.
It's really, really important to recognize that the plans on the insurance exchange have 10 essential benefits. And those plans that are being canceled now are plans that really didn't provide enough coverage to really help people once they were sick or needed some assistance in a hospital. But going out to the insurance exchange and receiving one of those plans that has those 10 essential benefits, let's just look at what some of those benefits are, Ed. Those include having the access to an ambulance, emergency services wherever you are, hospitalization, maternity and newborn care, mental health and substance use disorder services, including behavioral health treatment, prescription drugs, rehabilitative and habilitative services. Think of what happens if you have a stroke. You need to be able to have those habilitative resources, laboratory services, if you have to go to a place to get any type of lab services done, preventative services just to make sure that you are well and that you are in good shape. And most important for children on those among those 10 essential benefits includes pediatric services, including oral and vision care. All those items are really essential for family well-being and health. And so these plans that are being replaced with things that are going to keep us healthy. So we ask you to consider that very carefully.
And remind us once again of the phone numbers and that people can call to get more information when they are looking at plans.
Sure. So for the exchange, the local help is 855-99-NMHIX or 855-9966-449.
And you can also call the Southwest Women's Law Center. Our number is 505-244-0502. That's 505-244-0502. And our certified enrollment counselor is Evan Kay, there to help you right this moment.
And we have another caller on the line. Simberlin, you're on the phone from Colorado with a question about coverage. Welcome. I hope I pronounced your name right. Are you with us? Looks like we might have lost him. Well, let's go to an email comment from Terry. She says, the Affordable Care Act is about insurance. Why isn't it about health care? I guess asking about, you know, overall care. How does the Affordable Care Act and its insurance mandate, and this kind of goes back to the alternative medicine thing we were talking about, address all of the needs of health care that someone might have?
You know, let's just go back to look at one of these essential benefits that will be found on every single plan that's on the insurance exchange. So that's called preventative services. So what you do is you go in and you see a doctor once a year for your health care checkup. There's no additional cost for that, no cost sharing when you go in for those preventative care services checkup to make sure that you are in good health. And so once you have these preventative care services at least once a year, that does help you to make sure that your overall health care is in good shape so that you are able to detect things very early if indeed there is something that occurs. And the Affordable Care Act absolutely does focus in on making sure that of the whole health and wellness of a family and an individual.
Well, we have Larry on the line now calling from Albuquerque with another question about increases in costs and maybe paying the penalty. Larry, is that something you're considering doing?
Yeah, you know, here's my thing real quick. I just wanted to share. I have heard a few people call in about the alternative medicine, and I'm really headed that way with what's happened to me in the past. And now I'm on a good eating program and trying to exercise, and it's made a world of difference. But bottom line is my Presbyterian insurance was $348 the last few years, and this year it went up to $496, and I just canceled my insurance altogether because I can't pay that much. So I'm one of those people that's still trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm 65, and I'm hoping to retire in a year, so I was thinking to just let this year go and pay the penalty and then see what comes to me when I turn 67, 66. That's kind of where I'm coming from. I just wanted to share those thoughts because I'm just totally confused on where to go. I know there's a lot of plans, but I think that's what I'm thinking is just completely letting it go this year and then seeing what my options are when I retire.
Thanks, sir.
So Larry, I would highly encourage you. We certainly wouldn't want something to happen in a gap period for you from a health perspective. Highly encourage you to go to the exchange. Reach out. There's like we've mentioned throughout the show, local help available. In fact, you're in Albuquerque. We have a new enrollment assistance center that opened. It's at 2301 San Pedro. There's people there ready to assist you right now. Assess your options and see if you're eligible for any assistance with your insurance premiums through the health insurance exchange as a way to get you covered in this interim period before you are eligible for Medicare.
And so I just wanted to point out to is it Michael? Larry.
Larry,
you're 65 now, so you are eligible for Medicare. And I would ask you to very carefully look at what you need to do to make sure that you're signing up for Medicare and looking at those Medicare supplemental plans that would be available. It sounds a little like Larry was working for an individual employer and not getting his plan off of the insurance exchange. Mm-hmm. And so those plans that may have gone up through the employer may well have gone up, and there would have been no subsidies available for Larry. But now he is in a different posture. He's 65. He's eligible for Medicare. He can get Medicare supplemental plans. So Larry, you, please do talk to some assister or some assistants to make sure that you are taking care of yourself.
We have just a few minutes left and quite a bit to get to. We do have an email comment from Kristen. She says she has breast cancer and she's using a healthcare sharing ministry instead of buying coverage. I don't know what that is. Is that something you heard of, healthcare sharing ministry?
No, maybe she can tell us a little bit more about that. That's a new one for us, Ed.
Okay. And then we have Jane on the phone from Albuquerque. She's a contract laborer. Jane, hi, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Well, my concern and complaint about the current insurance position is that I'm the sole income provider for my family. I'm a single parent family with no additional child support, and I'm contract labor, so my income fluctuates, which means that whether or not I'm getting support is very difficult to predict, and the more I work, the less assistance I'm getting to make my premiums. But in addition to that, one of your speakers today was talking about what if you have a stroke and you have to be in the hospital. Well, if I'm, as the primary income provider, I have a stroke and have to be in the hospital for a long period of time, I'm not going to be able to work. I'm not going to be able to be making my insurance premiums. And so how is it then that I'm actually receiving insurance? It's like imaginary insurance.
Thanks, Jen.
So let me just sort of talk to her about that. If you find that during the year your income is fluctuating or it has changed, you do have an option. And if your income will be in the category that you will now be eligible for Medicaid, I'm sorry, you're not 65, you're between 19 and 64, then you can fall down and get your insurance under Medicaid. And many of the providers that are on the insurance exchange are also the providers that are on the Medicaid plans. So you won't be without insurance. So there are options. That's why we keep encouraging people to talk to certified enrollment counselors. Don't ever think you don't have an option. There is always an option, and we're there to help you find it.
Well, we have one more call I think we can squeeze in. This is from Coffee Brown in Albuquerque. Go ahead, just really briefly, if you can, please.
Hello, Coffee Brown here.
Hi.
So I wanted to respond a little bit to the alternative medicine comments that we were hearing. It's important to understand that by definition, alternative medicine means cannot be shown to work better than placebo, though placebos are pretty good, actually. And try calling a naturopath anywhere in town and say, I have a brain hemorrhage, I have a heart attack, I have pneumonia, I have an aneurysm, and see how quickly they bring you in or whether they send you to a mainstream hospital.
All right, Larry.
People have worse events in mainstream hospitals partly because the systems are complex and need improvement. That is absolutely true. But they also have worse events because they're sicker to start with.
Okay, well, we're going to have to, I'm sorry, Coffee, but we are out of time, and I wish we had more time to talk about this. Thanks for weighing in on that, though, and apologies to all of our callers that we're not able to get to. But I do want to thank our guests, Amy Dowd of the New Mexico Health Insurance Exchange and Pamela Herndon of the Southwest Women's Law Center. If you missed part of this program or want to hear it again, you can find it and past episodes at our website, KUNM.org. We're also podcasting the show on iTunes. Thanks to Jefferson White, our engineer today. Kaveh Movahed manages the phones. And Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. KUNM's Public Health New Mexico project is funded by the McCune Foundation and the W.K. Kellogg Foundation. Find out more online at publichealthnm.org. I'm Ed Williams. Thanks for listening.